Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Philippians chapter number 3, we're going to read from verse number 12 down through verse 14. Philippians chapter number 3, beginning at verse number 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we pray you would open your word to us, speak it clearly, and may we respond obediently. Help us to hear it and to recognize this truth. It be planted in our hearts, and may we as your people, God, please you in this truth. We need help in this journey, and we pray for it even now. Guide us in all of this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The last couple of Sundays or a couple of times that we've stood, we shared from a passage in Hebrews chapter number 12. And it's really just a reminder of the Apostle Paul about the importance of staying the course, a journey that we've been put on by Christ from the moment that we were saved, a journey that it has its ups and downs, and there's pitfalls and struggles and hurt and heartache and we make it worse, right, by trying to go our own way and do our own thing as opposed to following Christ. But Paul, in his obedience in Hebrews 12, said these words. He said, "Wherefore, also seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," right? We have our own examples, our own examples of life of people who have lived for God and have walked for him. He said, it's clear that we need to lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us, right? I'm often shocked at how easily beset I am. In the least little thing, if we're not careful and not prayerful, you'll find yourself on the wrong side of it. But he said we need to lay aside the weight, which is the love for this world. And I know it makes you an outsider to your friends and a stranger to many. As a matter of fact, when most look at a person that is truly dedicated to Christ and walking that way, they simply don't fit in, right? It's like a fish swimming the opposite direction of the rest of the school. And yet that's what he's called us to be, peculiar. The world will certainly think us peculiar. People that go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night. People that pray. People that believe that the world didn't occur from a big bang or some evolutionary process that occurred over billions of years that no one has been able to prove. They think us weird when they recognize that we believe there is a God and that he created everything, including us. They think it bizarre that there is a day coming when we'll give an account unto that God in person, and that there'll be a judgment of all men. And yet we know these truths are real. The Apostle Paul, in the important part of this journey, he reminds them that we have examples to follow here, and I am grateful for that. I've tried to be clear about that. But also we have a responsibility to examine ourselves. To examine ourselves and see what stands in our way of truly doing the will of God. Now, ask yourself the question. When When it comes church time, would you rather be somewhere else than here? Now, if you just mind the flesh, you'll be somewhere else. But there ought to be something greater in you that is in the world. There'll be an evident thing inside of us that says, you know what? More than anything, I want to be around God's people and Him. I want to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, all of us have failed. All of us have missed that mark. And all of us have come to places where we simply failed to do what God would have us to do. But it doesn't mean that we stop reminding one another of the importance of this truth. I'm on a journey. And I certainly utilize so many different things to help me. And you are part of that. Many of you are witnesses in my life. Many of you are encouragement to me. But above all of this, bowing before the one that makes it okay. Kneeling before Him whose spirit can quicken me in the light of so many hard things and troubles. We have to depend on Him. I'm still talking about the journey today. I can't seem to get away from it. Every time that I pray, God pulls me back into this. You know why I believe that is? I believe because it's imperative today that we get this right. There's a lot of people watching and that are hopeless out there. There's so many people that have absolutely nothing to live for. And here I stand, a picture of God's grace. If you ask me, do I have anything to live for? I'll tell you, absolutely I do. Is there joy in my life? There is. Is there peace? Yes. There is a peace that I have that passes all understanding. You say, preacher, how can I get me some of that? Jesus. That's where it all came from, right? The apostle is saying, look, I understand that it gets hard. I understand there are hard things. And for many of us, all we got to do to figure out some of this is look in the mirror, right? Because it's our fault. True. Amen. I can't point at my neighbor and I can't point at the devil and I can't say he made me do it. What I can say is I'm the one that's guilty, Lord. Forgive me. And as soon as I get honest with God, things start getting better. When I get to the place that I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. That was me. That was all me. And I need your help. I want you to forgive me. The Bible said that He was faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. You may look at me today and say, what a foolish man. I would never stand up there. But may I say to you today, I'm so glad that my sins are gone. I'm grateful today that they're gone. I'm grateful that they're under the blood of Jesus Christ, that they've been cast into a sea of forgetfulness. You mean to tell me that all of the bad things you've done, that God has cleansed of them and cast them out of His own remembrance? Yes. That's exactly what He did for me. Did He have to? No, but He did because He loved me. You see, the only way to save me was for Him to die. Was for Him to take my place, for God to put all of my suffering and my punishment upon Jesus. And Jesus bore my sin to the cross. And there He paid the sin debt for my sin. And by His own blood, He covered them. He forever atoned for my sin. The very instant I believed, it became done. The transaction finished. But that brings us to the journey. Oh, how important it is for us to run a good race, to fight a good fight. Now, some of you are not even in the race, right? You're kind of standing on the sidelines looking and watching, and a part of it's compelling, right? A part of what you feel this morning when you come into this place was a peace. Now, we can't overlook the conviction that comes from being among the people of God. If you're not right with God, I get that, but you hear me right now. You know what I'm talking about when I say there's peace here. And you want that peace. I know many of you do. Some of you know right now that the one thing you've been missing is just peace. Just a clear hope in your heart that there's something better than what's down here. Amen. If all I could hope in was what this world brings, wouldn't that be the most miserable thing?
Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, how depraved this world is and how hard it is. And even when we struggle and we fail and we mess up and the consequences of sin, and yet what Jesus is offering is to pardon us from our sin because he loves you and me. Amen. There's a good reason for us to be on the journey. I'll be dead one day, and within 50 years, nobody will remember who I was. That's how it goes. Right? That's the way of our fathers, right? That they're my great-great-grandfathers, I didn't know most of them. I had no idea who they were. And for the most part, that generation is gone and quite clearly forgotten because nobody here knows them. May I say to you today that what really matters is whether or not he knows you. Amen. Are you his? Right? You may say, just as everyone else has said, that, yeah, I'm one of his, but I'll tell you how I know when people are really the people of God is they live for him. Somebody asked me, that always happens. Somebody gets saved and somebody else will say, well, do you think it was real? And I can't help but respond most of the time by saying, time will tell. Time will tell. And you know why it's time, Lenny? Because if you're really God's, you won't go far. He'll reel you back in. He'll bring you back home because you were bought with a price. You're not your own anymore. And oh, how I'm thankful for that truth. I've got a journey to walk. But I'm going to be transparent this morning and say that I often miss the mark. It's not uncommon. I'm going to share with you this morning the life of the Apostle Peter as quickly as I can. It's fairly extensive when you go to reading in the Gospels about the Apostle Peter. But I want to read to you about a phenomenal disciple that God chose right off the water. Right? He threw his nets down, climbed out of that boat, and said, I'll follow you. And he set off on a journey with Jesus. I wonder today how many of us have looked back on the journey and thought, wow, if I'd have known that it was going to take me here, I don't know which way I would have gone. But may I say to you today, I wouldn't change a thing. Every hard thing that I've been through has brought me closer to him. They've all been experiences and things that have helped me understand his love for me and his grace and his provision and his protection and all of these things. You see, I wouldn't truly know if I hadn't been through it. If I hadn't gone the journey, if I hadn't stayed the course, if I hadn't held on and just trusted him. And that brings us to where we are today. The Apostle Paul said in verse number 12 this truth. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. No, he was being honest. He said, I'm not there yet. Right? You look at me, and surely if anybody was as close to a follower of Christ, it was the Apostle Paul. And yet here he is confessing, no, I'm not yet perfect. I've not yet got it right. My journey, it seems to still have its ups and downs and pitfalls and things where I struggle. He said, truly, what I'm trying to do is to lay hold on him who laid hold on me. And that's what I want to share with you today. I got saved in 1976. I was just a boy, 9 years old. What didn't come that night looking for God, but he came looking for me. And that moment, in that instant, he revealed unto me that I was lost. Now, I hadn't been contemplating that. I hadn't been studying the scripture. I hadn't been asking a bunch of questions. Here's exactly what happened to me. As I sat there on the back bench, the Holy Spirit arrested my soul, and he opened my eyes to the truth concerning my condition. And then he also showed me the one that could remedy that problem. He showed me the Savior, and I bowed before him that day, and I asked him to be mine. And brother, he saved me that day, and I've never been the same since. He put me on a course. He put me on a journey that, brother, has had ups and it's had downs, and I have failed, and I have missed the mark, and there's been all kinds of things, friend, that the devil might look and say, well, you ain't even worthy to be on the trail. But here's what I want you to know. Every one of those things, Jesus is with me. He's been with me. He's whipped me. He's scolded me. He's taught me. He's loved me. He's held me. He's comforted me. He has done everything that I need. I want you to know, if there is a journey you need to be on, it's this journey. The journey where we follow after him. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, I've not yet attained that perfect position, that perfect condition that I will be one day. He said, but this one thing I am doing. I'm pressing toward the mark. I am giving it my all. I am trying my best. I am on the journey. And he said, I'm trying to lay hold of what laid hold on me. That very thing that captured me that day, that very thing that arrested me and made me a child of the King, the very instant that the transaction of salvation was done, I became a child of the King. He laid hold on me. And thank God he ain't ever loosed from me. Aren't you glad of that? Thomas Bonanda was here Sunday night, and boy, he preached a message to me that I needed. Amen. It helped me immensely. But he came to me and he gave me an example. Now, the Lord showed this to me. He revealed it to me afterwards that God had showed this very thing for him, and he had to show it to me. And he came to me, Lenny, and I'm going to practice on you. I'm going to do just what he did to me. Grab my hand now. Everybody watch what we're doing. We're doing this right here. Everybody was here remembers this, don't you? And he was preaching up a storm, and he grabbed me by the arm. And he lifted me up. And then he said, lean back. Just lean back. So I got you. Lean back. Now turn loose. I thought about that all week long. There's somebody laid hold on me that will never loosen their grip. There have been times when I wasn't holding. But there was somebody had a hold of me. And that makes me want to walk with him. Amen. It makes me want to grab hold of him. Amen. Because it's good. It's good that somebody has a hold of me that won't turn loose. Somebody laid hold on me. And brother, that gives me encouragement. And it makes me want to walk this journey with Jesus. You say, why? Because there's never been a time, even when I turned loose of him, he didn't have a hold of me, and he didn't preserve me and keep me and deliver me in the end. What a wondrous thing that Jesus never fails you and me. Did the Apostle Peter fail? Yeah. Right? Boy, if I'm going to get to heaven. He might ask me one day why I picked on him so much, but he was easy to pick on. When it comes to a disciple that had experienced the wonders of God and yet turned right around and flubbed it up, that was Peter. Let me give you just a few of them. You say, why in the world are you doing this? Because we're all like this. He said, why in the world are you exposing the Apostle Peter and all of these things? Because you're just like this. And it's important for us today that we expose this truth, that we, as Paul, might say this: I'm simply going to keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. I'm not going to give up on Jesus. You remember there was a time when Jesus took a few of the disciples and he went up into the mountain, and the Bible said that Jesus was transfigured. That means that a spiritual transaction took place at that moment, and Jesus in his earthly body suddenly become a glorified one. Just like that. And Jesus began to ascend up off the earth. Now, can you imagine Peter and John and James, big-eyed, mouth open, watching this happen right in front of their eyes? And as he rose up, they saw Elijah and Moses. Can you imagine what that was like? And when Jesus had finished and had come back down, they had gone. Jesus was back to normal. He was no longer transfigured. And yet when Peter said, he said, Lord, this is good for us to be here. We ought to build a temple, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And suddenly God boomed out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Amen. Jesus said to them, no, there's nothing else need to be done. Amen. This very act of seeing the transfigured Lord, you would think, boy, that set him on a course. Boy, oh, Peter, he had never turned back and he had never looked back. And yet what we find in the very same chapter is him and the disciples arguing about who's going to be the greatest in heaven. Same day. He didn't make it even one day after seeing the glory of God revealed right in front of him when he was arguing about who's going to be the greatest, and Jesus looking at him, shaking his head, and said, good grief. Who's going to be the greatest? He said, I'll tell you this,
the greatest in heaven is the least. Chew on that. He had to do that the very day that old Peter had saw the glory of God revealed through Christ transfigured. Don't that happen to us? Aren't there silly things like that that sidetrack us and hinder us on the journey? Huh? Ain't there things that you've ever looked in the mirror and said, God, I'm so sorry. That was ridiculous of me. That was ridiculous of me to ever wander or ever fall in that ditch. And yet the truth is all of us do it. We miss that mark. Peter was a great example. Number two, there was a day he was in a boat and he was out there on the water and the waves were going on. They seen something coming across the water. First thing they do is got afraid. And then one of them said, it's the Lord. And what was Jesus doing? He was walking on the water. It's the Lord, they said. No, Peter hollered. He said, Lord, if it's you, he said, let me come to you. And the Lord told him, he said, come. Come on. Well, Peter stepped out of that boat. I wish to God I had faith to get out of the boat. Right? I can't point a finger at Peter. God, I can't even get out of the boat. Peter stepped out of the boat, amen, and was walking on the water. And then what happened? You say, my goodness, you're walking on the water, Peter. Why in the world would you look down? Why would you look at the circumstances of this life? Why would you let the world hinder this great and wondrous thing that you were experiencing? And yet all of us do the same thing, do we not? All of us experience the miracle and the wonders of God sometimes, and before we know it, we are sinking in the waters, crying, Lord, save me. Jesus reached out his hand and lifted Peter back up and took him to the boat and put him back in. Just like us. There was a time the scripture said, Jesus asked the disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some says you're John the Baptist and some Elijah and some one of the prophets. Jesus looked at him and he said, but who do you say that I am? Peter looked at him and he said, thou art the Christ. He said, you're the Son of the living God. Jesus looked at him and he said, Peter, Simon Barjona, he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. He said, but my Father has revealed this to you. You know what he's doing? He's bragging on him, Peter. He said, you got that one right. You got that one right, Peter. And he said, thou art Peter. And he said, and upon this rock, he said, will I build my church. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Boy, you say, boy, Peter finally got her straightened out, didn't he? He finally got it all squared away. He finally found that place where he was walking perfectly after Jesus. No, unfortunately, Peter, Jesus even telling Peter, thou art the rock. I'm going to build my church on this faith you have, Peter. And before the day was over, Peter had looked at the Lord and rebuked Jesus. You know what Jesus told him? He said, I've got to go to the cross and I have to suffer and I have to die. And Peter said, this will not happen. I will not allow it. And you know what Jesus said to him? He said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. For you don't desire the things of God. Now, how in the world can a person go from Jesus looking him in the eye and saying, upon this rock I'll build my church. God has revealed this to you, Peter. And within 24 hours, he's having to say to Peter, get behind me, Satan. For you don't desire the things of God at all. That sound familiar to any of us? Oh, my. See, I don't know what compels you to walk for God. But if it's anything but love, you're going to miss the mark. Because there ain't but one thing that'll truly keep you walking on this journey, and that's loving him. You say, why in the world would you love God? Well, you obviously ain't been saved yet, because if you ever get saved, you'll love him. Amen. Because he loved you. Because he loved you and saved you. Amen. There'll be a love that grows in you because God is in you. And the love of God will compel us.
to walk for him.
To stay in the journey. Boy, that had been a good time for old Peter to quit. Jesus look him right in the eye and say, get behind me, Satan. That'd been enough, right? That'd make most of us just lay down the bag. I can't follow him. All I do is mess up. All I do is miss the mark. All of these things. And yet Peter went on. What he said, I'll share this one. What he said after that, just before Jesus would, at the supper actually, Jesus telling them what was going to happen. They're going to come. They're going to get me. They're going to take me away. They're going to crucify me. And you know what, Peter, and what Jesus said was, and he said, and all the sheep are going to scatter. Peter said, Lord, this will not happen. He said, though all leave, yet will I not leave. Yet all, though all be offended, I will not be offended. I'll not leave you. I'll stand by your side. And you know what Jesus tell him? He said, Peter, before the night's over, you will have denied me thrice. Did it happen? Oh, aren't we big with our words, and aren't we boastful in our what? But the truth is I'm just barely holding on. Thank God he's got a hold of me. Thank God he's got a hold of me. But there is something in my heart, you see, that wants to follow him. As many times in my life as I have stumbled along the way, every time brings me to my knees. And every time I get to my knees, there is help. There is encouragement. There is restoration. There is a deliverance. And brother, it makes you want to stand up and keep walking for God. Peter experienced it. Jesus said to a few of them, right? He didn't ask all of his disciples. He just spoke to a few of them. James and John and Peter, he said, hey, he said, I need to pray. Right? This is the night they would come and get him and crucify him by early next morning. He was going to the Garden of Gethsemane and he only chose three. Can you imagine being in that inner circle? Can you imagine being one of the three cats that he said, hey, would you go with me? Would you go with me to the garden and would you watch and pray with me? Why, we'd be so excited and so honored to go with him. What a wondrous thing, Paul, to think that the Lord has asked me to watch and pray with him just for a little while he prayed. And yet what happened? Jesus went out there about as far as you could throw a rock. That's just as far as he could go. They could hear him praying. They could hear him pray. Well, maybe you can throw a rock farther than I can, but no farther than I could throw a rock, they could hear him praying. And they went to sleep. On the hardest night that Jesus would ever have, those three in the inner circle took a nap. You ever took a nap on God? I'm afraid I have. I'm afraid there's been times that I closed my eyes that I should have kept them open. I should have been diligent and I should have watched and prayed. And while I was sleeping, the enemy came and he stole from me. While I was sleeping, he invaded my home. He invaded my life and he stole from me while I was sleeping. My goodness, Peter, you were with the Lord. He was sweating drops of blood from the agony that he cried out unto God. You can't tell me you couldn't hear him. You couldn't feel the anguish in his prayer unto God. And yet he dozed off, unconcerned, apathetic. I don't know about you, but this fits me. This journey, you see, is hard.
And there are pitfalls and there are snares all along the way. These are things that the enemy slips into the trail. He slips in these obstacles and these struggles and these things that are meant to bring us down. And yet what I want us to grab and leave today with is that even as Peter, we must not stop going. The Apostle Paul said we have to keep pressing. Don't give up. Press for the mark. When you get knocked down, get back up. Pray through it, repent, and get back on the journey. Lastly, Jesus had risen, gone back to heaven. The Holy Spirit had come down on the day of Pentecost. Peter's sitting on his house praying one day, and a sheet comes down, a vision. All kinds of manner of unclean beasts and clean beasts. And Jesus says, Peter, get up, kill, and eat. He says, I've never ate anything unclean, Lord. And he said, what I've cleaned, he said, don't you call that unclean. He said, I said, get up and kill and eat. And he did that three times. And finally, Peter got the message. And before he knew it, somebody's knocking on the door. And it was a Gentile bunch down there. And they said, hey, We're from here. He said, our master's name is Cornelius, and he's been praying unto God, asking God to save him. And he said, God sent a vision to Cornelius and said there was a man named Peter, and we should come and get him, and he would preach to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we could believe and be saved. And Peter knew right then that the Holy Spirit had brought brought salvation to the Gentiles. Peter went with him, went down there, and Cornelius told him the story, and Peter preached to his whole house, and the Bible said every one of them got saved. Every one of them got saved, and the Bible said the Holy Spirit filled every one of them. You say, my goodness, Peter finally got it right. He finally got over all of those things. He finally had made it. No, Paul said, I ain't made it yet, and Peter hadn't made it either. The Bible said Peter, having done all this, baptized all them, said, surely God has come to the Gentiles. And he went all the way back to Jerusalem, told them everything that had happened. And I tell you, it wasn't but a year or two later that Paul was standing in his face and was standing him and saying, Peter, you're wrong. You're trying to preach Judaism to these people that have been set free by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible said that Paul withstood him to his face. Why? Because Peter was wrong. Peter had slipped back into what God had revealed and liberated him from. Peter slid right back into the old habit. Was he done? No. Peter got right with God and he kept going. I don't know if that's encouraging to you, but if Peter had problems, amen, you think you won't. If the Apostle Peter struggled, you think you won't struggle? That there won't be hard things for you in this life that you have to go through, things that'll knock you down, that'll make you pray, and that'll lift you up and send you on your way? You see, all of these things are meant to remind us that the journey is a part of the process. All of it is necessary. The Word of God to remind us that there's nobody perfect but Jesus. Peter had struggle after struggle after struggle, and yet God chose him to be one of the leaders of that early church, and he was faithful unto God. And every time that he fell, he got back up, and he kept pressing toward the mark. The Apostle Paul, an example of great, great character, and yet here he admits to him, I've not made it. I'm not perfect. I'm not there yet. But he said, I'm going to keep chasing after so that I can lay hold on the very thing that laid hold of me. Come get a song. Is anybody under the illusion that Christians are perfect? There's not a perfect Christian. Not in the flesh. There's something inside me that is. Spirit of God filled, purged, cleansed, and sealed till the day of redemption. That's perfect. But the Apostle Paul had to confess this truth about that perfect thing on the inside. He said to will, is present. He said, I understand. I know what I need to do. He said, but how to perform it,
No, he was willing to come right out and confess in the end. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do them. The things I don't want to do, somehow or another, I end up doing those. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this flesh that plagues me and continuously hinders? And he answered his own question. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Right? That with my heart I'm going to serve God. With my flesh, I'll keep failing, unfortunately. I've got to keep bringing that under subjection. I've got to keep bringing the flesh to where it needs to be. But in my heart, he said, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to follow God. I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey, but let me encourage you, don't give up. Not now. If ever there's been a time that you need to be faithful to God, it's today. The evil is approaching as rapid as I've ever seen it. The darkness is coming from every direction. The only hope we have is that He has laid hold on us. And we need to lay hold on Him. And when you fall, get up. Do not stay there. Do not pity yourself there. Do not leave yourself. Get up. Get back to the place where God's protection, His peace, His love, all of those things that we will need on the journey that is ahead of us will come from staying the course. Stand as we sing. I don't know your heart today, but here's what I can tell you. There is peace at the cross. If you'll give up and let God have it, there's peace for your soul today. Tired of going your own way? Why don't you let God set the course for you? Why don't you let Him put you on this journey? He'll take you through. He won't leave you. He won't let you down. If you need Him today, I'll invite you to come and pray. Call on Him today.